Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into some fascinating source material about AI note takers, you know, those bots that join your online meetings.
Right. And the core question our sources are raising is pretty provocative.
It really is. It asks, when did committing felonies become a business model? But that's what we're trying to unpack today.
Yeah, it's a strong statement. We're looking at how these third-party AI tools record, transcribe, and, well, use discussions from private meetings, often without everyone involved actually agreeing to it, which is problematic.
And this isn't just a theoretical problem. Our main source, someone who runs these big online calls, like 40 people sometimes, they mentioned seeing about 8 of these uninvited note takers trying to join each call.
8? Wow.
Yeah, 8. So the host is constantly having to figure out who they are and kick them out. That's like, what, 20% of attendees being potential spies? It sounds almost industrial scale.
It really does paint a picture. These meeting apps, they kind of allow this, and the services themselves seem built on just grabbing data first and asking questions later, or never.
Okay, so if we're talking felonies, that's serious. What laws are actually being broken here? What's the specific legal framework?
Well, a lot of this centers on California law, which often leads the way on tech and privacy stuff. We need to look at California Penal Code 632.
Ah, 632. That's the one about recording confidential communications, right? The two-party consent idea.
Sort of, but it's actually stricter than just two-party. People often misunderstand that. It's really an all-party consent state for confidential communications.
All-party. Okay, so what counts as confidential then? If I'm on a big Zoom call, maybe with vendors or different teams, does that count? It feels sort of semi-public.
That's the common assumption, but it's often wrong. Section 632 defines it based on circumstances where any party, even just one person on that call, reasonably wants the conversation kept just between the people there.
Wait, really? So if just one person shares something sensitive, maybe client info or a private opinion, and expects it to stay in the room, and some AI bot records it, that bot and the company behind it, they've just violated the law.
Legally, yes. That's the interpretation based on the text. It's about any single participant's reasonable expectation of privacy for that specific communication.
That seems incredibly difficult for these AI companies to manage, especially across different calls and contexts.
It is difficult, but that difficulty doesn't change the legal requirement. Now, there are exceptions, of course.
Okay.
Like truly public gatherings, court proceedings, legislative sessions, those are out. Or any situation where everyone would reasonably expect to be overheard or recorded.
Right.
But a private business meeting, even a large one, the default expectation is privacy, requiring that all-party consent for recording.
And the penalties for getting this wrong.
Yeah.
They're not trivial, are they?
Not at all. The law bans intentional recording or eavesdropping with an electronic device without the consent of all parties and the punishment. It can be a fine up to $2,500 per violation.
Per violation? Ouch. If a service is doing this on hundreds of calls.
Exactly. It adds up incredibly fast. Millions, potentially. Plus, there's the possibility of jail time, county jail, or even state prison.
And who's on the hook? Is it just the poor employee who set up the bot?
No, the law is really clear on this. A person isn't just an individual. It explicitly includes business associations, partnerships, corporations, the whole entity. The company providing the service is absolutely in the crosshairs.
So fines, potential jail time, but there's another bomb hidden in here, right?
Yeah.
The admissibility trap.
Yes, this could be the real killer for their business model. Any evidence, any recording gotten illegally through violating this section, it's not admissible in court, or in administrative hearings or legislative ones.
So let's say you recorded a meeting with one of these bots discussing a vital trade secret. Later, you need that recording to sue someone who stole it.
Too bad. That recording is legally toxic. You can't use it as evidence. The data itself is tainted because of how it was collected. It's basically useless from a legal standpoint.
Wow. Okay. So the company risks felonies, and the very data they're collecting might be worthless legally. Let's dig into the business models themselves. Our sources talked about two different ways these note-takers work.
Yeah, pretty much the legal way and the illegal way.
The legal way sounds straightforward. The service tells everyone, hey, we're recording, maybe with a pop-up or a voice announcement.
Right. And crucially, it lets each person individually say yes or no. Opt in or opt out. Consent is key.
But the other way, the illegal way,
That's where third-party services just join the call, often invited by just one person, and start recording, transcribing, doing whatever they do with the data without getting that all-party permission. They're banking on nobody noticing or nobody objecting.
Which brings us back to the core question. Why take such a massive risk? What are they actually doing with all this illegally recorded confidential stuff?
Yeah.
It really seems to boil down to one thing: training their AI.
Oh.
They're feeding it confidential advice, internal strategy discussions, maybe sensitive HR conversations, complex Q&As, all to make their AI smarter.
But the source material suggests it might actually be making the AI dumber, or at least misinformed.
Yeah, the phrase used was mistrain it, because they're grabbing data without context, without curation. It's just raw, potentially biased or incorrect information being fed into the system.
And the source was pretty blunt. It doesn't matter if the calls were free consulting or paid strategy sessions. Taking those conversations, that relationship building, without consent, it violates the law, plain and simple.
Exactly. It's like an industrial scale violation of trust and confidentiality, all for data.
It's tempting to see this as just, you know, a crazy AI startup phase. But the source connects this to a deeper pattern, right? People cutting legal corners for data or research.
Yeah, the point made was this isn't the first time supposedly good people trying to do good things have maybe negligently or even knowingly broken laws to get what they want. It goes back to research ethics.
There was an anecdote mentioned involving government-sponsored researchers.
Right. Apparently, these researchers admitted in a meeting that they were, well, breaking into innocent people's computer systems.
Breaking in. Why?
To plant Trojan horses. Not to harm the victims directly, but to study the actual criminals who were also breaking into those same systems.
Wait, they were committing a felony against victims?
Yeah.
To study other criminals attacking the same victims.
What the?
Sounds backward.
It does seem ethically tangled, to say the least. And their defense, when called out.
Let me guess. It's for research.
You got it. They argued that their status as researchers somehow excused the felonies.
But the source pushed back hard on that.
Absolutely. Pointing to the fundamental principle of research ethics, informed consent. You can't just commit felonies because you call it research. Participants need to know and agree. Research isn't a free pass to break the law.
So what happened with that research program? Did people go to jail?
No arrests were mentioned, but the program and related IT policies were apparently reevaluated and updated. The lesson learned, or at least enforced, was clear. Research doesn't trump the law or ethical obligations.
It's a really interesting contrast to today, though. Our sources pointed out how social media platforms are technically, legally, doing vast psychological studies on users all the time, just for profit.
That's a key point. The difference often seems to be that fig leaf of consent buried deep in the terms of service. It might be questionable ethically, but it's often legally different from the zero consent model of these rogue AI recorders.
Yeah. Academic or government research faces much higher ethical bars than purely commercial data harvesting. And when those commercial operations ignore even basic laws like all-party consent, well, that's where we get into felony territory.
Precisely. They cross a very bright line.
Okay. So this brings us to the money. What about the people funding these companies, the VCs, the angel investors? If the core business is built on potentially illegal recording, what's their risk?
This is where it gets really serious for investors. We need to talk about criminal conspiracy.
Conspiracy. Sounds dramatic.
It is. The Federal Law Enforcement Training Agency apparently calls it a partnership in crime. Legally speaking, a conspiracy happens when two or more people agree to break the law and then someone acts on that agreement. It's designed to catch not just the foot soldiers, but the organizers, the funders, the brains behind it.
So if a VC firm knows, or should know, that the startup they're funding is recording calls illegally, and they invest anyway,
they could potentially be considered part of that conspiracy. The source argues that awareness of the criminal behavior followed by providing the funds that enable it looks a lot like joining the partnership in crime.
How high is the bar for awareness, though? Can an investor just claim they didn't know the specifics of Penal Code 632?
Well, ignorance of the specific law is almost never an excuse, but the source suggests the awareness bar might be lower than investors think. Meaning, if you know the company's product involves recording online meetings, which is usually pretty obvious in a demo, and you don't ask the hard questions about how they get consent from all parties, then you might be seen as willfully blind or negligent at best. If the due diligence doesn't cover this basic legal compliance for a core function, that's a huge red flag.
So just seeing the bot work and not asking, how do you guarantee consent from everyone, could be enough to establish that necessary awareness.
It could certainly contribute to that argument from a prosecutor's perspective, yeah. Knowingly funding the means can be seen as the overt act needed for conspiracy. It's a massive potential liability, reputationally and financially.
That's so brave. Okay, so imagine you're involved. Maybe you worked there, maybe you invested, maybe you founded the company. Is there a way out if you realize, uh-oh, this is illegal?
Yes, the sources talk about an affirmative defense based on withdrawal from the conspiracy, but it's not passive. You can't just quietly disappear.
Right. You mentioned participation is presumed to continue unless proven otherwise. So what do you actually have to do?
There are two main requirements, according to the legal principles discussed. First, you have to perform some affirmative act that goes against the conspiracy's goals. You need to actively work against it, not just stop helping.
Okay. An affirmative act, like what? Sabotaging the recording servers? Mm. Okay. Maybe not that extreme.
Huh. Probably not sabotage. But maybe formally objecting, demanding changes, refusing to proceed with funding rounds unless compliance is proven. Something concrete.
Got it. And the second requirement?
You have to communicate your withdrawal, and not just in a casual chat. It needs to be communicated either to a co-conspirator or, importantly, to law enforcement. And it has to be done via an act that's reasonably calculated to ensure they receive the message.
So sending a certified letter, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Making a formal report. Something documented.
Exactly. You need proof you officially bailed and tried to stop it or notify authorities.
This leads directly to the very pointed advice our source material gives.
It's pretty blunt, yeah. For investors, get out now. Withdraw funds, report the activity, but talk to a lawyer first to do it correctly.
Or employees.
Quit under protest. Again, consult a lawyer first to navigate that properly.
And for the people actually running these companies.
The message was the simplest. Stop it. Just yeah. Stop the illegal activity.
It really underscores the danger here. This rush to use AI, it seems like it's pushing people, maybe even unknowingly at first, into potentially committing serious crimes. And the investors backing them are right there in the potential blast zone.
Absolutely. The takeaway really is you can't afford to be ignorant of these laws, especially when the core asset you're building all that data could be legally worthless because of how you got it. That admissibility trap is devastating.
Which brings us to that final thought for you, the listener. The sources are really clear. Stop committing these crimes and stop letting them be committed against you. The advice given was to report companies doing this illegally to local, state, or federal law enforcement.
Yeah, so the question becomes, what are you doing to make sure your confidential calls aren't being illegally recorded and used? Think about it next time one of those unexpected bots tries to join your meeting.
Because the fallout isn't just about bad AI training or losing data. It could involve serious legal consequences for everyone involved.
Definitely something to keep in mind.